My name is Maria Teresa Cerqueira. I'm Chief of the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Office of the Pan-American Health Organization, and I'm going to present the Observatory for Violence Prevention and Citizen Safety in the U.S.-Mexico border town of Ciudad Juárez. Ciudad Juárez has been in the news lately, so I don't think I have to tell you where it is. This observatory started last year. Actually, it's going to be 1 year old on the 18th of November. We're going to have a one-year celebration, or at least a session to look at progress and see what we need to do. Ciudad Juárez has about 1.5 million people. It is the largest city in the state of Chihuahua, and Chihuahua is the biggest state in Mexico. The most important public health problem in Ciudad Juárez at this time is violence due to drug cartel wars. But for many, many years, violence against women has been a major problem in this border town, and it continues to be so, although it has been eclipsed by the more prominent homicides against young men especially. The observatory has several objectives. One is to develop a data system, a database that would house both homicides and road traffic injuries and all causes of mortality, and also to have a group that would analyze this data and present recommendations for policy and programs to local authorities and to all of the institutions that participate. Death and traffic, deaths for due to violence is just kind of the tip of the iceberg in this town. There's a lot of other issues that have to do with public health, but at this point, this is the major focus of the observatory, is to look at the homicides due to fatal shootings, to road injuries, looking at the reported deaths by the agencies, Ministry of Health, police, transit authorities, the morgue, and also looking at violence reported by a survey of the victims, families, and there's also a lot of violence that is not reported, especially domestic violence and violence against children. And in all of Mexico, the prevalence of domestic violence is fairly high. It's been documented at 30% or more. About 20% of women who complain of being in an abusive relationship report coexistence of psychological, physical, and sexual violence. And the risk factors of domestic violence include a history of abuse during childhood and also alcohol abuse. We're using the WHO definition of violence and looking at violence in these four settings: in the community, in schools, in family, and in the workplace. And the definition of violence in the WHO World Report of 2003 speaks of intentional use of force or of physical strength, either real or as a threat against self or another person, and suicides are also being recorded. Another person, group, or community that causes or may cause injury, death, psychological harm, or developmental trauma. The public health model and approach that we're using is to have the database and the surveillance to understand and define better the problem, looking at the causes and the risk factors through research, and also implementing innovative and more effective strategies in those four settings, and monitoring and evaluating the results and sharing those findings. The observatory, as I mentioned, has two components. It is the database, where all the institutions come together and bring the data to upload and to share, and put on, and also using geographic information systems. And it's also work groups of many institutions that are looking at the programs that are in place in schools and in the workplace and in communities and with families, especially dealing with domestic violence, and proposing improvements to those programs or proposing new policies and programs to be put in place. There is a political will. The mayor was, in fact, one of the first persons that came to us at the PAHO office in 2008, February, to request that we support them in doing something. He really didn't know what the organization could do. And PAHO does have a history working, especially in Colombia. We have a collaborating center at the University of Del Valle. It's the Center for Violence and Injury Surveillance, CISALVA. So we contacted the folks there, and they were able to come at the end of 2008, actually quite quickly considering the times that people have available. And twice the technical folks came, once including an ex-mayor and an ex-president of the University of Del Valle in Cali, who also spoke to the mayor and in political terms explained that it would take a long time. This was not a quick fix, and the risks also of implementing an observatory and moving forward. Also explained the greater risk of not doing anything, of just letting it escalate, and or using just a military-type model, which is in place, actually, because the military has been deployed to Ciudad Juarez. There are, if not 7,000, pretty much close to 7,000 military. It's under military rule. And we also had a couple of workshops on how to implement what the methodology for the observatories were. So the information system is one of the outputs that quickly I'll show a little bit of what's going on. And then the other part is using this data to propose policy and programs. The important thing was to strengthen this interagency collaboration. The University of Ciudad Juarez is housing physically in their databases, the observatory. We actually have a dedicated server to that as well. Capacity building was one of our particular objectives for this observatory, to have people understand the cycle of violence, the underlying causes, the risk factors, and how to begin to deal with it, and to implement programs early on in schools. And the maquilas are the workplaces. They're assembly plants that are all over the border. And working with families and communities. We also have begun a media partnership so that there's an association of newspaper and TV reporters in Ciudad Juarez who are very interested in being able to also not just provide the information as they find it, but to provide it in such a way that would not cause more panic, but give the citizens an alternative of things that they can do. And also to begin to implement in the curriculum, because University of Chihuahua has a campus in Ciudad Juarez, and they're the ones who train most of the journalists that are working there. So to include some reflection of how the media could be more proactive in preventing rather than fueling violence. And of course, looking at the policy and environmental changes that might need to be put in place. There's as an organizational structure. There's an executive committee where the three universities meet monthly to look at the progress and the difficulties. There's a project coordinator at the university. He's a public health person. He's a physician and public health, an MPH. There's a technical secretary. There are analysts and information technology people involved to deal with the data and the GIS mapping. A lot of institutions participate, the local government, the municipal government, the university. There's an institute in Ciudad Juarez, and this is not the norm in most towns, but this particular city some time ago created an institute for research and planning that would fuel the planning and the work of the municipal government. So they're also involved. And they're part of the municipal government, but they have certain autonomy. They're not quite the university, but they're like a think tank research group there. And they've done quite a bit of mapping and showing of statistics and urban development, especially in the city. We have the Attorney General, the Mexican Institute of Social Security, another university there called the Colegio de la Frontera. They actually have campuses all across. There are like 6 or 7 campuses from Tijuana to Matamoros. The Forensic Service, the Justice Department, Medical Services, the Ministry of Health. There's just about every organization in the city is involved and looking for solutions. Well, here they are. We have a first, actually there's a second coming up, pamphlet or bulletin that brings out some of the data, and it's all in Spanish for now. Eventually we would like to share it with other audiences. And there's also a conceptual document that explains, and this is the map of Ciudad Juarez. And the information system has these components. It has the tools for the working group, and it has the, in a SharePoint, it has all the documents that those 4 working groups have produced. The virtual library, and I have a pamphlet of that too, includes some of the documents that they're using, especially for training. There's a website that has information the public can access. Not all of the information is accessible to the public. There's security issues involved. The geographic information and mapping, and the indicators database. So that's kind of the underlying systems that go into doing this. And I'm not very expert, so I'm going to go that over and just show you some of the maps. The low-hanging fruit, obviously, is road injuries. For 2 reasons. One, it has less of a conflicting nature to it. It's not talking about the drug cartels or the women killed. And and 2, the university had already been engaged by the transit authorities to develop a database. So they already were collecting data since 2007 to look at where the traffic accidents were. So you can see the big red dots have the greatest traffic accidents. And so this was kind of the low-hanging fruit, and we started by working on that. And here's the website. This is the Border Virtual Health Library documents from the project. These are the SharePoints, or the collaboration sites that are available. And the groups that are working on the programs and policies have their space here, and they work on the documents. We're actually doing a major proposal for fundraising to continue with it, because we started kind of by the seat of our pants, so to speak. These are the roads and the crossroads in Ciudad Juarez that most of the accident, the road injuries happen. We're also trying very hard not to call them accidents anymore. It's kind of the word everybody uses, but we know we need to have more awareness that if you call them accidents, then people kind of say, oh, well, there's nothing to do. You know, it's kind of a fatalist attitude. And most of the crashes that cause death, the result in death from road injuries, happen in very few crossroads. And already the municipality is looking to see if the signs are bad, if the road is in bad condition, if there's not enough transit authorities there to fine people if they run a red light. The other thing that was found immediately was that about 30% of children 1 to 2, below 2 years old, that were injured and fatally injured because they were not in a baby seat, not in a car seat. So the police, the transit police, are trained now to fine whoever's driving and doesn't have the baby or the young child in a car seat. But they're also, this first year, providing them with a voucher, so they go to there are two major stores and they will get a car seat free in this first year. They can go without being fined. They can just go to the store and sign up and get car seats. These are the peatones, people that's crossing, pedestrians, thank you, in the city, and where most of the injuries and deaths have happened. This is due to alcohol. They're driving under the influence, and you can see the amount of incidents that were recorded in 2008. This was traffic crashes. Also, a lot of texting and cell phoning going on. They've just passed a local ordinance to so that they can be fined. A lot of young people also, 3 and 4 and 5 in the car, you know, get distracted and driving at night. There's a different surveys that were done, and about 30% of them self-reported that they were driving without a license. And this is so also in El Paso and Las Cruces area, New Mexico and Texas. It's another project that we're working with the Texas Transportation Institute called Teens in the Driver's Seat. And we've translated and began to pilot that in Ciudad Juarez as well. Here's some of the road injuries, 2007, that were recorded before the observatory in 2008. And we can begin to see towards the end of 2008 some changes. There's been extensive training. They've also been provided the alcohol measuring things, alcoholimetros. They've been provided that to transit authority people. They've included a lot more patrol cars and transit police going into the town. And here it is graphed. And we've also provided, and most of these materials from WHO and PAHO are in Spanish, the World Health Report, and here are some of the causes by crashes. Pedestrians, turnover, other types of road injuries. And here are the homicides, men, women. In 2009, from January through March so far, in 2008, there were close to 2,000 homicides in this 1.5 million town, and it's almost 2,300 as of October of this year. So it's not gotten better. The military presence has not been able to control any of this, and it's really the worst town in all of Mexico. Tijuana used to be pretty bad, but Juarez has gained first place in a very short time. And here you have it graphed. And so as I was saying, even though this particular town in Mexico, Ciudad Juarez, has made world news because of the women murdered, and there's been over 600 women murdered in the last 10 years, with the violence of the drug cartels in the last 2 years, they've really been smoked out. They're kind of forgotten now because there's so many more young men being killed in this. So thank you very much, and if you have any questions, I have some of the material here also for you. And now I'll have Josefa come up and tell you a little bit about the health promoting schools.